The Art Show on Fresh Air Radio, Thursdays at 3 p.m. A taste of all the culture Edinburgh has to offer, from theatre to literature, from film to the visual arts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fresh Air Art Show, covering all the culture Edinburgh has to offer, from theatre to literature and film to the visual arts. This week, we'll hear from the Travis Theatre about their new online project, Travis 3. And we'll hear the rest of Island Life Productions' Welcome to the Quids Inn, Episode 1. And finally, we'll hear the Poem of the Week by Alice Walker. First, though, I'm joined in the studio by the student newspaper culture editors, Erin and Al.
Hello!
These guys are going to give us our cultural look ahead for the next week of culture in Edinburgh. So, Erin, can I ask you to go first and tell us what's going on in visual arts?
You certainly can. So, in light of Black History Month, this week there's a really exciting event actually, Thursday evening, so this evening, and it's hosted by the Edinburgh University Student Association's Liberation Campaign, and it's essentially a women of colour mural concept workshop. So it's a really cool idea. Essentially, Potterow are working with an artist called Ursula Cheng to create a new permanent mural in Potterow that represents the women of colour in the university community. So what they're trying to do is kind of have a bit of an open call to women of colour in our community for their experience, and to kind of seek their input into a discussion forum with Ursula over Zoom to kind of make sure that it's really well represented and the mural really reflects the kind of university community and how their experiences play into something that can be demonstrated on a wall for students in the years to come. So that's a really exciting event, and interesting if you just kind of want to get a look into how the university their take on art and how that kind of what their thinking is, if that's something that interests you, because obviously Edinburgh's got a lot of work of its own to do in terms of its own inclusiveness. Then the next event we've got is an in-person event. It's called O for Light, and it's opening on Friday at 6 p.m. at the Upright Gallery in Brunsfield. And it's essentially a spring series of 30 small paintings which depict the April sky, each one highlighting a different word. And it's a new body of pieces based on the changing sky created by Catherine Sargent. And it was created in spring and summer of 2020 in the lockdown, using the words from just one textbook. So it's a really good example of a bit of creativity in a time of a little bit of artistic difficulty when artists can't get to their studios and things like that. And then the final event that I have curated for this session is another one by Collective Gallery. They've got some really good online events going on at the moment, and it's part of their Collective Observation series. So they're focusing on Karen Cunningham, who is their artist in residence for 2020, and the session is called Meantime. And it's looking at basically Calton Hill and how it's been represented throughout the years by postcards. So it's always seen as a bit of a symbol of Edinburgh. It's always seen as a kind of really sort of a place where a lot of tourists go and take pictures. And so Karen Cunningham has found it quite interesting to document Calton Hill through postcards and put them all together, because postcard status as a kind of minor piece of photography means they've kind of created a bit of an unofficial archive of the site without any real kind of agenda to it, apart from just photographing it. And so kind of seeing its change and seeing the different ways it's been interpreted could be really interesting. And that is an online event for Thursday, the 22nd of October at 6 p.m. And that's free as well. So we've got some really exciting stuff this week.
That is some really exciting stuff. I love the idea of an exhibition built solely off of postcards of Calton Hill, because there are some really lovely ones.
Yeah.
And it is a proper symbol of Edinburgh. So if you are missing the city, if you're not in the city, that might be a nice online event to attend. As for the Upright Gallery, is that a new space? Because I've not heard of that one before.
Yeah, it's the first time I've come across it too. I think it's been around for a little while, but obviously the pandemic means that its visibility and stuff has probably gone a bit to the back burner, because the kind of launches and events and stuff right now are obviously really difficult to get to. But yeah, it's in Brunsfield, so it's worth a look.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. I guess every space is a new space after a lockdown.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't really remember what's going on. Al, could you tell us a little bit about literature this week then?
Yeah, so I've had to look a bit further than Edinburgh this week, actually to London.
Understandable.
Yeah. and there is an artist that I'm absolutely obsessed with called Kay Tempest. And they've just released a book this past week, plus 2 weeks. And basically they're in conversation at the Royal Festival Hall in the South Bank Centre talking about this new book called On Connection. And basically you can book tickets for this online. And you can stream it from this Friday until the 23rd of October. So their book kind of dwells on their 20-year experience of writing and performing and their relationship with creativity and themselves. It also feels particularly powerful as it's come in the wake of their public announcement about being non-binary. So the South Bank Centre also has a bunch of other great events on. One which is on, you can access until Friday, is poet and playwright Claudia Rankine, in conversation about her new book, Just Us. Yeah, Kay Tempest is a really, really wonderful poet, author, rapper, spoken word artist. You can find that album on Spotify that came out in 2019 called The Book of Traps and Lessons, which has some great musical accompaniment. Would recommend walking up a huge hill, playing it from cover to cover. It's wonderful.
What an Edinburgh vibe that is.
Yeah.
I think I've heard of Kay Tempest before, actually. There's been a lot of talk about them on Twitter recently. I was interested to know whether their book is about their experiences as a non-binary person or whether it's more focused on their writing career. Do you know?
I think it's more about their creativity and their writing career. But also, I feel like it would definitely touch on it, I have a feeling.
I was going to say, anything to do with identity in that kind of way is sort of linked.
For sure.
No, a really interesting read. Definitely go check out that online event and pick up a copy of the book if you can. And definitely check out all of the buzz about Kay Tempest on Twitter, which I have been seeing. So unfortunately, Cam cannot join us this week, so we don't have any information about what's coming up in the theatre. But I think we all know that the real winner of the Edinburgh theatre scene during the lockdown are the Travis Theatre, who we'll hear from next anyway. So no worries, we don't miss Cam too much this week. Well, finally, I thought I'd ask you a question kind of on the theme of the show. All of the shows in October are kind of on the theme of Black History Month, of course. We're trying to push our content such that it touches on Black History Month. I just thought I'd ask you, nice little question. Who is your favourite Black artist, or who are your favourite Black artists? Anyone from musicians to gallery curators, visual artists, performers, actors, playwrights, anybody?
I don't mind going first.
Go ahead.
This is actually a really recent find, and it touches quite nicely on an article that's going to be in this week's print edition of the paper by Laura Ballyman. She kind of brought this artist to my attention, and I looked into it when I was kind of editing it, and actually it's a really kind of cool one. So I will be suggesting Saoirse Amira Annis, and I've chosen her as my favourite Black artist. She's a visual artist because she's Dundee-based, so she's based in Scotland, which is great because we like to do Scottish artists too, so it's a nice combination. And she has a degree in art and philosophy from Dundee, and she's really, really interested more conceptually in looking at how her art is responsible for the continuation of her own cultural heritage. So kind of putting her own experience into picture. She combines text and image, and she often uses quite kind of old Hollywood style kind of work to inspire her. And in an interview she gave, she actually kind of looked at the idea of the negative impact of Hollywood's kind of magical sort of when you turn something into a myth is what I was meant to say there, and the idea that the kind of the vision of the Black woman is very, very political in Hollywood and very, very kind of typecast. So she's got a couple of boards up. She's actually been doing a lot of work in 2020 in the lockdown. But I would really, really recommend checking out her website, where you can kind of see all of her work. It's so difficult to describe it when you don't have that visual aid. But yeah, it's really, really nice to kind of have an up and coming young Black artist involved. And, you know, we've got a full page spread coming up in the paper on her. So if you want to see a bit more, then definitely look into it. But yeah, that's who I would say.
Amazing. What an excellent choice. I love to hear about up-and-coming people. So that's what this show is for, and especially when they're Scotland-based, so that's great. Al, what about you?
Yeah, yours is very much more current. I think I'm just going to go for a timeless classic. It's got to be Nina Simone. I can't stop listening to her. I've never been able to stop. She's definitely on my Desert Island Discs, for sure. And I just love that the continuation of jazz is being taken up by so many new Black artists. Coming to mind is Celeste, who sampled some of Nina's tracks, Leanne LaHavis, both UK jazz musicians. Nina.
It's very interesting you should say that, because actually the next song queued up to play on the show is Suzanne by Nina Simone. So stay tuned if you want to hear some Nina Simone. I would say that my favourite Black artist currently, someone I've been really following their work, is Courtney Stoddart, who is an Edinburgh-based, she's Scottish and Caribbean, but she's an Edinburgh-based poet who writes some really, really emotive stuff on Black history, on race inequality, and just general really awesome poetry. She's a spoken word performer, and hopefully we'll be catching her around Edinburgh soon. But yes, she's amazing, so definitely check out all of those lovely people. And thank you so much for coming on, both of you. Before you go, I'd like to ask, when is the next edition of the student newspaper coming out, and where will we find it?
It is coming out on Tuesday the 13th of October, and you can find it in the usual spots. So if you're around the library on George Square, Tesco Nicholson Street, King's Buildings, Potter Row, and TV Row House. So go and pick up a copy.
Oh, we will do. Good to hear that despite everything that's going on in the world, the student newspaper can still be found in Tesco Nicholson Street.
The one constant in life.
Tuesday, though. That's interesting. So remember that different day, because it definitely always used to be Wednesday.
It did. Times are a-changing.
Stay tuned to hear from Debbie Hannon from the Travis Theatre about the new project, Travis 3. Now we'll have Suzanne by Nina Simone.
Suzanne takes you down to a place by the river. You can hear the boats go by. You can spend the night forever. And you know that she's half crazy, and that's why you want to be there. And she feeds you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. And just when you mean to tell her that you have no love to give her, she gets you on her wavelength, and she lets the river answer that you've always been her lover. And you want to travel with her, and you want to travel blind, and you know that she will trust you. Oh, you touched her perfect body with your mind, yeah. Now Jesus was a sailor when he walked upon the water, and he spent a long time watching from his lonely wooden tower. And when he knew for certain only drowning men could see him, he said all men will be sailors then until the sea shall free them. Yeah, 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 yeah. But he himself was broken long before the sky would open, forsaken, almost human. He sank beneath your wisdom like a stone. And you won't travel with him, and you won't travel blind, 'cause you think maybe you can trust him, 'cause he's touched your perfect body with his mind, yeah. Now Suzanne takes your hand and she leads you to the river. She's wearing rags and feathers from Salvation Army counters, and the sun pours down like honey on Our Lady of the Harbor, and she shows you where to look between the garbage and the flowers. There are heroes in the seaweed. the mirror. She's touched your perfect body with her mind.
That was Suzanne by Nina Simone you just heard. If you've just tuned in, this is a reminder that you are listening to The Art Show on Fresh Air. I'm joined now in the Zoom studio by Debbie Hannon from the Travis Theatre to talk about Travis Festival and the Travis's new online performance space, Travis 3. For those not in the know, Travis 1 and 2 are real bricks and mortar theatre spaces in central Edinburgh, and Travis 3 is an online-only space that has been set up in the wake of the pandemic. So Debbie, could you kind of introduce yourself and tell us what your role is at Travis and what your responsibilities are?
Hello, pleasure to be here talking to you.
Thank you.
So I am the co-artistic director designate, which sounds a bit like a kind of Star Wars position in the Senate. But in fact, what it means is that I am the incoming co-artistic director who hasn't quite made it to actually being in the role yet due to a little known global pandemic, which lockdown kicked off 2 weeks before I was meant to start. So my 2020 was meant to be moving back to Edinburgh, starting at the Traverse, first salaried job in 10 years, etc. But actually, I'm very much still in London. However, as you said, we've massively pivoted onto digital format. So we've gone remote because we've had to, and because the Traverse wants to keep producing, wants to keep engaging its audiences and finding new audiences. So the team found a brilliant, innovative way to do that, which is to, as you said, create Trav 3, which is our completely online venue. And this seemed especially necessary when the festivals got cancelled and we still wanted to provide a festival, really, somewhere that people could engage with culture, we could still hear new stories and hear unheard voices and be able to take that out to the world. So we've got a really rich programme of really different things. We've also not just stuck to the festival timing, so August, along with all the other parameters of our industry that no longer exist, August is no longer holding us. So it's ongoing. We're constantly having things going up on Trav 3, coming down, really different formats. We had a brilliant 360-degree film called In Someone Else's Shoes, which the residents of Edinburgh were talking about what it means to have lost the festival. We've had Declan, which was a short film inspired by Mouthpiece by Kieran Hurley, one of the big Trav hits. We've had a whole set of audio plays by new writers called The Breakfast Plays. We've had Shielders by Matilda Binney, which is a kind of Zoom play stroke film stroke sci-fi Afrofuturist mashup.
Cool.
It was rad. And yeah, and ahead we've got a lot of different things in the programme. So we've got a lot of choice basically at the moment.
Yeah, it is amazing the vastness of the programme that you guys have put out. Actually, I was really amazed when I saw it because even in normal times you don't find such a diversity of programmes in one space. And I think it's really cool that you're using the online medium to your advantage to put on as much as you can for as long as you can. Some of these shows have really long runs, obviously, because they don't have the financial constraint of having to do things in real life, in a real space. So that's very cool. I cannot deny that the existence of Trav 3 has completely blown me away. I think it's an absolute stroke of ingenuity by the Travis Theatre. I was wondering what you could tell us about, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but the story about kind of how it was built up and how did the idea come to fruition?
I mean, I think it's because, zooming out a bit, it's because of the brilliant adaptivity of theatre people. Like, if you ever need a solution that is both pragmatic and based in looking after humans and often bringing a degree of joy, those kind of main three things, theatre people will find it. And yeah, I mean, we were just, like everyone else, thrown into complete disarray and our doors were closed. And then as it, you know, we were all a bit naive at the start about how long this would last, but as it became really clear that August wasn't happening and as the official cancellation arrived, we still have a duty, you know, we have a duty to provide like a civic space for debate and for engagement, a duty to provide entertainment, a duty to provide those urgent stories. And there, you know, there's a kind of choice of like waiting until the doors could open again, until the sort of, you know, no doubt deeply complicated prospect of a vaccine, which probably won't be available to everyone immediately anyway, etc., comes around. And along with this series of really clear indications to how the UK government was handling all of this, it became really clear that finding another solution had to be the way. And so the shift online came out of that. And then it came out of going, what does it mean? Like, what does the traverse itself mean to people in a way that we can communicate digitally? And it does mean a venue, like it means a place you go into that has an atmosphere and it has a set of values and it has a set of staff, and, you know, it speaks with a voice, even if it hosts a lot of different people. So it became clear that making a digital version of that was the answer. So we worked with this company called Supercool, who built it with us, basically, and built its functionality. And they've done like an absolutely incredible job. It's kind of a singular thing in the theatre world right now. There's a lot of different versions of online access happening. There's live streams, there's a small amount of paid for content, there's shorts that people are releasing, there's bits of audio. But what Trav3 does is function like a theatre and hold umbrella-wise all of those forms. And that's the kind of functionality you need at this moment. So it can be really agile and really responsive. A new idea can pop up and be made really quickly, which is not normal in theatre. Like people have the impression, because it's so live and instant, that theatre is a quick turnaround, and it's actually one of the slowest forms to get made. People don't realise how it takes years to develop plays, to build teams, to build productions, whereas now we've got this format that can hold those works that have taken time and had that development, but also things can be turned around quickly, responsively, really agilely, and that they can be shared on a massive way. There can be international connections. There's the disabled community have been calling out for years for a more open access, for live streamed events, for things that now, you know, companies are discovering and making happen. Already the clear benefits of that were laid out before. So it's brilliant to now really come into contact with that and go, look at this degree of access that is possible because of this new format.
Yeah, it's really cool as well. I think it was so possible for the idea of like an online theatre space to be very kind of non-interactive and not what the people ask for. Like, I feel this way about my online university. It's like, I didn't ask for you to replace live tutorials with an online discussion board. It just doesn't do the same thing. And I think what's really fantastic about Trav3 is that it's overcome that. It doesn't just do the bare minimum. It doesn't just attempt to replace theatre to the extent that that's possible online. It tries to create a new kind of space while also kind of answering these calls, what people wanted. Like you said, the disabled community have been asking for something like this for years, and there's no reason why something like this can't suit everyone and be as good as what you were doing before. But I'm curious to know whether you see this as like the future for the Trav, or whether you think that as soon as it's possible, Trav3 will come down and things will go back to being bricks and mortar.
I think it's a permanent fixture. Cool. Because I think that's the opportunity version of this moment. Like, this is a brutal moment. You know, freelancers have been thrown into, I mean, even more increased precarity. Like, the industry's relationship to money and to government is in question. There's a massive existential threat. So it's not to deny the pain of that moment, but the version of it where we go, what, when and if we get out of this, can we take forward? I think it's that this digital work, exactly like you said, does not replace the live. It just can't. It can't. I know, I'm sure fellow people who are still shielding, like myself, are desperate, have that same desperate urge as me to be in a room with other humans, you know? So it's not, it can't ever replace that, but it can be this brilliant additional strand alongside that allows for, you know, like borders to mean less, or for access obstacles to be taken away. And I don't see why we would get rid of that. It has its own demands and kind of like things like the dramaturgy. Like, it is a different form of, and by dramaturgy just mean like how you tell a story, really, and it is different because it's much more related to the screen craft of things, and it has different demands in terms of what the workload like looks like. So literally I've been rehearsing on Zoom, and that is a completely different world, you know, in terms of how you engage a room and how you get the best out of your artists and you set up a really healthy context. But it's all possible, and it's all added up to I think putting the value of culture in our lives and in our daily existence is really like high up and really clear. So for me, and I know definitely the Trav has invested in it as a permanent fixture as well, that it's something that we're committed to keeping because it has brought benefits without any chance of not having theatre, not having liveness. It's not about that, but it's about this whole other set of forms that can communicate and can unite and can leave space for debate and can entertain and, you know, and they're all the values of the Traverse. So of course we're going to innovate ways to do them, even if our doors are shut. But when the doors open, we'll keep that there too.
Yeah, I think that's really great because I think it's so normal for businesses to innovate at this time. I think a good example is how lots of restaurants have turned to doing takeaway. And then as soon as they are able to open their doors and welcome people in, they go, oh, the takeaway bit, that wasn't financially viable, or it was too difficult, or it wasn't as good as what we were doing before. And I think it's really awesome that rather than having to innovate just because of COVID and only for the duration of COVID, it's really cool to see a project that, yes, came out of this difficult situation, but actually betters the company as a whole and betters the theatre scene in Edinburgh, and therefore is here to stay because this is what people wanted. It's not the same as what you were doing before, but it's a great addition to what you were doing before. And it is a gap in the market, I have to say, and I don't think there are any other theatres in Edinburgh who are doing anything similar, which surprises me.
Yeah, I mean, we moved fast. I think that is the...
Yeah, it does take a long time to set up something like that.
It does, and the choice to pivot there, you sort of go, what does that mean then? Yeah, there's a bit of I understand the holding moment of making the decision to do it, but I'm really glad that we leapt on it. And as you're saying, you have to innovate in this moment to survive. and for me, it's about actually the pandemics, plural, are potentially a part of our long future, right? And these global moments of shake-up, what the hell will climate change look like? How will that affect how we can cross borders or gather as people in the future? There's so much ahead that we have to be ready to constantly respond and innovate. And I think having a digital arm that's as, strong as our live work is only a good thing for what is going to be an ever-changing and probably increasingly fractious world. And certainly on a more optimistic note, at least for our recovery as a sector, which is going to be long.
Yeah.
So we want to be through all of that. We want to have a tool that means we can still make work, employ freelancers, have artists speak about the vital things. Life goes on. We still need art. We still need artists to articulate for us. So I'm really glad that we've tooled up and found a space for it.
Yeah, I'm glad too. And I think it's a really nice pushback against the likes of the people in government saying that artists need to retrain, you're not useful in the current climate,
I know.
Your next job might be in cyber and you don't even know it. And I just think, rather than that, they should be encouraging projects exactly like this one, which move with the new world that we're entering into, as you say. I hadn't even considered that, this doesn't end with COVID. You're absolutely right. Climate change, any future pandemics, we have the ability to move online or move into non-traditional methods. So we absolutely should, because we have no idea what the future holds. And theatres have been doing the same thing for hundreds and hundreds of years. It makes sense to kind of change things up a bit and move on with the modern world. It kind of brings me to the next question, though, which is, I can predict your answer to this is going to be yes, but do you think that this new kind of era of performing arts produced for an online medium can be as good, if not better, than those traditional methods? Or is it something completely different and it's apples and oranges to compare them? It doesn't make sense to compare them.
Oh my gosh. I think that I probably more lean towards it's almost case by case, isn't it? Because, which is how that'd be the same way I approach the live form, which is you need a form for each play that you meet. So this play maybe needs a live gig, and this play maybe needs a blend of something that's online but is doctored live by a visual artist. And this play needs to be, right now maybe pre-recorded as a set film because it's a narrative and you want to hit each beat really rhythmically, precisely. So it totally depends on what the thing is. It's a different sport almost entirely to go from what is it to be in a room together and what is on screen. But I think the larger purpose unites that, which is about the sharing of ideas and about empathy and about creating imaginative like space for imaginations to extend and for us to like see other people as more human than maybe we did before we encountered that bit of art. Was it like Brian Eno that said like an artwork is like a trigger for an experience?
Oh, wow.
And I think it's that. And if you start from that basis, it kind of, the form should then just inform what kind of trigger and what kind of experience you're hoping to make as the artist, you're hoping to give to an audience. So yeah, I think I would even just remove the paradigm of what's better anyway and like take that out completely and go, what are you experiencing from this artwork and what is it giving you? Having said all that, I can't wait to be in front of something live again, but I also absolutely love the innovations that are happening in our storytelling form, what people are doing with digital work. I'm seeing all of that. That is also the creative community evolving and our audience's tastes coming with it. So yeah, apples and oranges would be the short answer.
I did think so. And I kind of agree, actually. I think questions like the one I just asked miss a very fundamental point, which is not all live theatre is the same and not all online theatre is the same. To compare them directly doesn't make a lot of sense because a play is different to a one-person show, is different to improv, is different to a visual podcast or something, you know, exclusively online. So I suppose that it doesn't make sense to compare them directly because the impact on the audience is different regardless of the medium through which it's delivered.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
So what are you most excited for then on the Travis program? I know you mentioned some shows at the beginning, but like what's something that you really want people to go and watch?
I would say right now we've got User Not Found, which is, how to explain User Not Found? It's definitely at the front of like finding all the different forms and crossing them over, and it's, I think it's described as an immersive video podcast.
Yes, that's what I was referring to when I said video podcast.
Yeah,
it sticks in your head that.
Yeah, and it really works, like it really fulfills the what that form is, and it's just made by some like brilliant artists including Chris Good and Daphne Attias and Terry O'Donovan, who just think really exciting, and it asks these questions about like what happens to your digital life after you die, like what is online existence. So yeah, deals with death and grief and who you are if you're only online, which feels prescient, at least right now.
Definitely one for the COVID era, yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And also, you know, the other side of that is that we've got a Tradfest, which is like, you know, like Scottish traditional music on there, which also excites me because I've not been near live music in months. And I would also really recommend In Someone Else's Shoes, which is the 360 degree video that I mentioned earlier, because it made me very homesick for Edinburgh watching it. And because it's just beautiful. It's like it's an appreciation of the range of humanity that's in Edinburgh and each individual's relationship to the festival. And it makes me want to rethink the festival and what that model is. And did the Fringe serve audiences and artists in the city in the best way possible? Was it all getting a bit exponentially large? You know, what is gentrification's role in that? Like, there's so many complicated questions in it. But what this beautiful film does, directed by Hannah Price, is boils it right down to these individuals and their experiences, people who own and walk the streets of that city. So yeah, I just think it's stunning. Yeah, I would really recommend those top three. So you've got traditional music, wild innovative video podcast, and beautiful VR 360 degree film about Edinburgh.
If that's not a testament to the like variety of things you put on, I don't know what is. Yeah, I was really interested though by the Tools for Change series at Trav 3, and I've not attended anything at Trav 3 yet. I do intend to, but Tools for Change is probably the project I'm most excited for. It's sounds like a really kind of interesting exploration of racism and injustice through the creative medium, and it's delivered in three parts, correct?
Yeah. It's three play texts. So this is in co-production with the absolutely incredible Theatre Uncut, who have a long history of sourcing and supporting the most political playwriting possible. It's a political playwriting competition. And then putting those plays out like globally to perform by people all over the world. So they are an incredible company. And it's basically three plays from their archive that touch on issues of race, censorship, identity, power, ultimately, which is the thing that unites all three of those. And they're available now for download. The artists that have written them are Bola Hanabisian, Niela Arboin, and Suhaima Manzur Khan. And they're really different. They're really, like, they touch on different parts of the world, different questions, different acts of change, probably. It's probably the thing that unites them. I know Bollahan's is about Exhibit B, which was the really controversial exhibit that took place in Edinburgh and later was banned at the Barbican. So yeah, that's a great example of how much it touches on things that are, you know, literally next door to us. But also the questions in that are about identity and race are huge. And I really love the fact that the thing you've highlighted, that they're really active as a project. Like, it's called tools. They're meant to be things that you pick up so that you can cause discussion and that you can raise awareness. And I think that's kind of a stunning thing in terms of what the civic purpose of art is. Like, it's meant to be, these are out there for you to watch and then understand and then maybe take action on issues of injustice. And it really puts kind of, you know, at the heart of the mission, not only the artist's expression, but how will the audience be shifted by that? When you name something a tool for change, you know, that in itself is a provocation to go, well, what is storytelling then? If I'm calling this a tool for change, how are you going to pick it up and how are you going to use it?
No, that's really, really interesting, actually. I think that the online medium really lends itself to this, interestingly, it lends itself to this audience participation. And I don't mean that in the traditional sense, but in the sense that you come away with tools or you come away with new ideas rather than just going, sitting, enjoying, clapping, leaving, having a drink at the bar before you go. At the kind of engaging with something online encourages you to be a bit more active. And I feel like it kind of suits young people's activism kind of side of things a little bit more. It's like, oh, come to this online event and learn about racial injustice. And because it's online, we can have people from all over the world talk about this, and it doesn't have to be specifically Edinburgh, and anyone can join. And I think that's really awesome.
And it's like in response to this moment of online living, isn't it? And online activism, like, we've had the most incredible summer of like paradigm changes and how the world like is and how we look at it, and the most phenomenal, you know, amount of like educational sources online, like, you know, like post Black Lives Matter in the summer, like, no one, if you have access to Zoom, if you have access to a smartphone, you have no excuse if you're completely someone who doesn't experience racism, that to not educate yourself. Like, it's all there for you. Like, the resources are being shared, you know, like it's as easy as a click away. So yeah, I think you're totally right to speak to the form of how we're now all hopefully at least progressing forward in our understanding of the connections and the power dynamics of the world, is totally right. Like, the form has to suit what the intention of the piece is, and it's completely right for this moment.
Yeah, I absolutely, you put it beautifully. What I was going to say is, it's never been easier to educate yourself than it has been with kind of the availability of projects like this. Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're coming to the end of our time. I'd like to ask you, as I'm sure our listeners are completely convinced, how can they access Travis 3 and watch all of these awesome things we've been talking about?
Great question to finish on. So you can go to traverse.co.uk and then you sign up for what's called a festival pass, a little bit like being at the actual Edinburgh Festival.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And yeah, from there you can then access the programme. It's free to access, but they will also take donations, because as everyone knows, like, this is a moment where all theatre venues' income streams have stopped. So if you are able to donate, that possibility is there as well. And obviously it's very welcome, but it's really important that the pass itself is free to begin with, so that you can go in and start
consuming,
like, start having a look, start like finding what like sparks of interest and excitement for you. And yeah, that's it. It's as simple as traverse.co.uk and putting in an email.
Amazing.
And then off you go.
That's really, really great. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Debbie. This was really enlightening.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. Next up, we will hear Banquet by Block Party and the rest of the episode one of theatrical podcast Welcome to the Quids Inn. Stay tuned. Okay, you just heard Banquet by Block Party. It's now time for the storytelling segment of the show. This week we'll hear the second half of the first episode of Welcome to the Quids Inn, but I'll just remind you what happened in the last episode so you can catch up. Last time, we met Anna, Murray, Ishal, Tomas and Lauren, who have all turned up for a selection day for a reception job at the Quids Inn in Edinburgh, Newington. After some horrifically awkward icebreaker games facilitated by their zany manager Michael, they are off for a tour of the hotel facilities. Let's see what happens next.
Ground floor. Doors open.
Tour time, tour time, tour time! Try saying that three times fast.
Tour time, 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 tour time. No, no, that's too many T's. You're right.
Lauren, the ladies' bathroom is just on the left here in the lobby. I'll just talk the others through some basic things while we wait for you.
Great.
I'm sure you're familiar with the lobby from waiting here this morning.
So he knows he kept us waiting.
That there is our trusty reception desk that George is sitting behind right now. I'm sure you will become very familiar with it. You'll do more checkouts than check-ins, as we have a self-service machine for those less sociable creatures who just want to get their key. They'll type in their details and it spits out a card.
Robots are taking our jobs. Next thing, you'll have the Terminator behind the desk.
I doubt it. I read a study that said humans feel unsettled when faced with humanoid robots and actually prefer interacting with robots that look like robots, like machines. It's called, like, the uncanny valley effect.
You give me the uncanny valley effect, you absolute robot.
You can have a go with it if you like. See how it works. Go on, Anna, type something in.
Hello, welcome to the Quids Inn. How can I assist you today?
Ooh, this creep you out, Ishal?
I didn't say creep me out. I said I read a study.
Should I try to check in?
Yeah, go as far as you can.
You have selected to check in. Please enter your check-in code. This can be found in your email confirmation, or on your receipt.
I'll click the bit that says I don't have my code.
Please present your payment card and follow the instructions on the card terminal.
I don't think so.
Oh, robot's trying to steal your money.
So, can people book a room through this as well?
Yes, but usually people will already have booked a room before arriving at the hotel. And most often, customers completely bypass the machine and go to a person for help.
Please present your payment card and follow the instructions on the card terminal.
And just cancel that and come out of it, or it keeps repeating that on a loop.
That was quick. Must have been a number one.
You're gross.
Don't worry, Lauren, you didn't miss much. Just showing the group the self-service machine.
Cool. I've used one of them before.
Oh, wonderful. Now, I'm sure I don't need to talk you lot through the vending machine or our comfy chairs, so why don't we head through to the cafeteria area?
Ah, I worked in the cafeteria before. The students call me a lunch lady, even though I'm obviously not.
We will pass by some of the housekeeping cupboard on the way through, so I'll point them out as well.
The excitement never ends.
This is our restaurant area. They're cleaning up from breakfast right now, which finished at 10, and are probably prepping for the open of the restaurant facilities in around 10 minutes' time. It's great. You can get free breakfast, lunch and dinner here, depending what shifts you're on.
Do they do vegan food?
Of course. Vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, celiac, lactose intolerant, gluten intolerant, nut allergies, you name it, we got it.
Most places do vegan food. It's pretty mainstream now.
As it should be. So much better for the environment.
Not when you think about all the air miles that rack up from flying your fruit and avocados and stuff halfway across the world and all the pesticides that are...
Can you get bacon roll, yeah?
Yes. I can recommend a bacon roll from the breakfast bar after a night shift.
So, we don't have to go into the kitchen part, but just make sure everything is okay out there.
You'll be making sure the seats are out and the tables are clear and there is enough cereal and milk. And if not, just taking them to the window into the kitchen and they'll fill them up.
So, can I put on my CV that I'm a milkman?
You can do whatever you like, within reason.
I used to work as a milkman, but... everyone buys milk at the supermarkets now.
That they do. So we just check in here every now and again, make sure that it's all right. Cool. And we won't really have to use the hoovers or the mops from the housekeeping cupboard.
Not unless there's a serial killer as in the cereal, the breakfast food, spilling it on the floor. Yeah, then you might have to, or more likely alert one of our housekeeping staff so they come and clean it up. There is also a bar here where you might have to mix a drink or two on the night shift.
Well, we'd be expected to know how to mix drinks, because, like, I can make a Jack and Coke, but that's about it.
I used to work as a bartender. It was back when I...
How often does that actually happen?
I mean, it depends, but you'll definitely come across it. People often check in late and want a drink after all their travel. You'll be alcohol trained, but just Google things if you're not sure.
What's the weirdest drink someone's ever asked you for?
Someone wanted milk and a shot of vodka. Wasn't hard for me to make, but definitely would not recommend.
I'm definitely going to try that now.
You're on your own with that one, mate.
Have you ever tried a cement mixer?
I used to be a...
Don't even! That's Bailey's and lime juice. It curdles in your mouth, and honestly, it's minging.
Are you even old enough to drink?
I'm 18! And everyone drinks before they're supposed to anyway. That's why house parties exist.
If you say so. I'm just teasing.
How about we look upstairs? Let's jump in the lift, all right?
Doors closing. Lift going up.
Nice and cozy.
You can fit up to 10 people in here, plus a few suitcases. Now, let me tell you, that's a squeeze.
Wait, are you serious? Look at that! The brand is Schindler! We're in Schindler's lift!
Not as original as you think. A couple of weeks of showing people up to their rooms and you'll be tired of laughing along.
Oh, right.
Sorry, but trust me, you'll see.
First floor, doors opening.
Excuse me?
Sometimes if it's busy or you're not with customers, you can just use the service elevator. It's just round the other side of reception. Bit of a game, though. Sometimes housekeeping hide their carts and dirty laundry in there when it's close to the end of their shift, so they don't have to deal with it.
Oh, that is not on. What happened to your "we're a team" quids in? You should help your co-worker. Are they allowed to do that?
We should always strive to be our best selves and hope that others may follow suit. If you help your co-workers, they are more likely to want to help you in return. If a task is unfinished at the end of their shift, they are, of course, allowed to leave it. But it is better to let another member of staff know, just so it can get done.
No, that's exactly how you get taken advantage of.
You have stairs too, no?
Yes, of course, there is also the stairs option, but you'll be running up and down them all day if you're not careful. Now, walk with me. On the night shift, you'll do the fire walk every 2 hours, which is basically doing a lap of the hotel to check all the corridors and pathways to our emergency exits are clear. If we peek in here, you can see one of our regular hotel rooms.
Double bed, TV, mini fridge, ensuite. Pretty standard. Nice view, though.
I mean, it's a budget hotel, so I think it's pretty good for what you pay.
Yes, we don't advertise ourselves as anything fancy. Just a place you can stay for a night or two that can cater to all your basic needs. So many people just want a comfy place they can crash at night and wash up in the morning.
I think it is very nice.
There are double rooms like this, twin rooms, family rooms and accessible rooms. Varieties on a theme.
So how many rooms are there in total?
So in this quids inn, we have 64 rooms.
I wonder how long it would take me to sleep in all of them.
We also have 3 conference rooms, like the one we were in earlier, so sometimes you will have to show a group in there for a meeting. You will have all the information at the reception, though.
Oh, you've not got a Bible in the drawer?
We used to, but think there was some decision to make it non-denominational.
People are too sensitive nowadays. What harm is a wee book? If you don't want it, don't read it.
But surely if you have one religious text, you should offer all.
Well, nah. Like, Christianity is the most common religion in the UK by far. I'm no being a bigot or nothing, but it just seems really petty to me.
We can agree to disagree.
Marie, I think that's for the guests.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The chocolate you put in your pocket?
Oh, I like how cheeky you are, Murray. If you put that back, I can give you one from the reception downstairs.
Do we have access to the chocolates at reception?
Well, they're kept in the stock room downstairs, but don't eat too many. Just the odd one should be fine.
Oh, naturally, naturally.
So, if you've all got a good nosy around, we can walk down the corridor and down the stairs back to where we left your things.
So how many folk are you planning to take on?
Honestly, I've enjoyed your company, and ideally we would hire the five of you and be done. I'll collect in your CVs and eligibility evidence downstairs and take you each aside for a quick 5-minute chat, and then we're golden. That looks all in order.
So are there any perks of the job, or like a pension scheme?
We do have a pension scheme. You'll get a letter about that, though. In terms of perks, well, I guess flexible hours. You won't have the same shifts every week. You can have some of the cafeteria food. There is a 40% off on booking any quids in hotel rooms in any branch. There is the usual holiday and sick pay. I think that's all of them. I guess the biggest perk is having a job.
40% is pretty decent. There is a quids in like every big city.
Only if you've got time for travelling.
Oh, and there is a pretty big party we're hosting this year to celebrate the end of the Fringe Festival. The cafeteria, bar and conference rooms will be open to the public to celebrate. All staff will be welcome as well.
As long as they're not working already.
Well, with all the staff there, I'm sure it'll be a fun night, even if you do end up on reception. It might actually be the next time you all see each other together. You'd be working in pairs otherwise.
We might not see each other.
Depending on the shifts you're rotated in for. Better hope you get along. You'll no doubt be seeing a lot of each other.
Can't wait.
I'll be taking you one by one now for a wee chat, but you should get an email tonight letting you know where we stand regarding an offer of employment. So, shall we get started?
That's the end of episode 1 of Welcome to the Quids Inn. Make sure to catch the remaining episodes on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you're keen. And you can contribute to Island Life Productions Patreon if you want to support the work that they do. You can listen to last week's episode of The Art Show on Spotify to hear our interview with Island Life Productions about Quids Inn too. For now, here's Baby I Don't Know OO by Wolfpack, which will follow with Poem of the Week, which this time is To Change the World Enough by Alice Walker. Here we go.
I don't know what I'm gonna do with you. We found your little note. Should I had a talk with you? 'Cause you've been on my mind. I know I was out of line telling Dad I'm giving up on you. On the phone, but I can't get through to you. I bought a ticket home, now I'm dreading seeing you. You give me no choice with your selfish attitude. You'll be pleasant if it suits your mood. I was out of line telling that I'm giving up.
That was Baby I Don't Know OO by Wolfpack featuring Charles Jones, and I really hope you enjoyed it, as it's one of my absolute favourites. Finally on the show, we'll have the poem of the week, which this week is To Change the World Enough by Alice Walker. The reason I chose this poem, not least because Alice Walker is a wonderful, wonderful poet, is because I saw an Edifest this week where somebody was saying that their group partner in a project for uni wouldn't listen to anything this person said because they came from a state school, not a private school. And it got me thinking, as I'm often thinking, about the class inequalities at Edinburgh University. So I picked this poem because I think it exemplifies a lot of the way I feel about this issue, and it says it a lot better than I ever could. So without further ado, here is To Change the World Enough by Alice Walker. To change the world enough, you must cease to be afraid of the poor. We experience your fear as the least pardonable of humiliations. In the past, it has sent us scurrying off, daunted and ashamed, into the shadows. Now, the world ending, the only one all of us have known, we seek the same fresh light you do, the same high place and ample table. The poor always believe there is room enough for all of us. The very rich never seem to have heard of this. In us there is wisdom of how to share loaves and fishes, however few. We do this every day. Learn from us. We ask you. We enter now the dreaded location of Earth's reckoning, no longer far off, or hidden in books that claim to disclose revelations. It is here. We must walk together without fear. There is no path without us. I think you see what I mean when I say that that's an incredibly moving piece of literature. And I'm certainly not trying to say that anyone who's not from a state school or a working class background at Edinburgh University is tone deaf, but I do think that that Edifest spoke volumes about the kind of class inequality that you see at this university. It's really important to me that you know that you can express your thoughts and your feelings through art, even if it's somebody else's art. So I'd really recommend you go check out the work of Alice Walker, who is an amazing African-American poet and Black rights activist. And when you witness your next class inequality at Edinburgh University, remember the words. We must walk together without fear. There is no path without us. Thank you for listening to The Art Show on Fresh Air Radio. We're back every Thursday at 3 p.m. with brand new content covering all of Edinburgh's best theatre, film, literature and visual arts. You can also listen to the show on Spotify if you miss an episode or just want to catch up on something that you heard. To play us out, let's have Love Like That by The Heavy. See you later.